If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
We are standing by, we think, for a call from Mayor Brandon Johnson. And in just a moment, we'll get to him, I'm told. Yes, he did not cancel this morning. So we are going to be with him for most of this half hour. And, wow, look who's on the phone. Is it really him? Mayor Brandon Johnson, good morning. It's been a long time. I was beginning to take it personally.
Hey, Bob, don't take it personally. It has been a while. It's good to hear your voice, and it's great to be with the WGN family.
Well, listen, I know you have a master's degree in teaching, and you taught for years in the Chicago Public Schools. Would you say that 50 aldermen in a council meeting are harder to control than your old social studies classes?
Well, I tell you what, certainly teaching middle school in the public schools here in Chicago, if nothing else, it prepared me to work to manage an oversized classroom right now. But, you know, look, there are a lot of alders that I do recognize that share in my vision and my value to build the safest, most affordable big city in America. It's just a matter of, you know, ensuring that the group project is one that we actually do collectively and that we don't do it in silos.
Okay, explain something to me that I don't understand. And I grew up here. I love this city, have great pride in Chicago. And when you debate the aldermen who are concerned about some of these teen takeovers or late night drag racing on Lower Michigan Avenue, you always talk about the solution. You say the solution is more after school activities for kids, more and better youth programs, especially in disadvantaged neighborhoods. And you're absolutely right. We need that. But this is the part I don't understand. Don't we also need smarter policing, whether it's some sort of curfew or tougher laws? I mean, it's not either or. And, you know, I think we'd like to hear you talk more in that direction. And we have a terrific police force here, as you know, and I don't think people want to hear you only say social programs are the answer to crime.
Well, it's not. I've always said that it's accountability and opportunity. You know, look, Bob, I'm raising a family in the city of Chicago, in Austin. I may be the first mayor in the history of Chicago to wake up in one of the most disinvested, underserved, difficult community in the history of Chicago. Community safety is always my top priority. As you mentioned, I've taught in our public schools. You know, I've seen what, you know, circumstances look like that lead towards harmful behavior, and that harmful behavior can manifest against other people. You know, when it comes to large gatherings, here's what we've looked at. The analysis, the vast majority of individuals that were actually arrested are over the age of 18. They're not even in violation of the curfew, right? And so what's important is that we actually do smart, effective policing that actually leads towards better results. So you're absolutely right about that. But, you know, it is about accountability and responsibility. And it's why we've worked hard to prevent many of these gatherings from taking place. So, no, my focus is not just on social programs as you have placed it. I was the, you know, only candidate when I ran for mayor to say that we have to hire more detectives. I promised to hire 200 more within the first 4 years of my administration. I did it in my first 2 years. We revamped the entire detectives bureau. There's a reason why violent crime is going down in the city of Chicago. It's because we've deployed strategic smart policing in the 35 most violent beats. And so now homicides are down 32%. Shootings are down 38%. Shooting victims are down 38%. Robberies are down 34%. You know, this is something that is a top priority. And building a safe, affordable, big city for the world to be able to witness is my ultimate desire. And again, you know, whether it's a large gathering or, you know, some of these other, you know, drag racing, you know, phenomenons, if you will, we have deployed strategic policing to prevent, and when those occurrences do take place, there are already books on laws on the book to hold these folks accountable. So it's both and, Bob. It's always been that way.
Well, I agree. The numbers are better, but here's the problem. Let me tell you this story. A friend who used to live in L.A. and now is in New York was in town over the weekend, and after a dinner downtown, she said she was going to Uber about six blocks or so to her North Michigan Avenue hotel instead of walking. And it was a very nice, busy summer night in the city. But she said she'd been told Chicago isn't safe, you know, and it was only about 9 o'clock. And I was really mad when I heard that. I didn't like that she said that. We have an image problem. And what are we doing about it?
Yeah, well, we have to change the reality of how people are experiencing the city of Chicago. Look, you know, when you think about national trends historically, the city of Chicago has always been an outlier where the national trends have been moving in a positive direction. And for Chicago, it was just the opposite. Well, for the first time since these national trends have been recorded, where the national trends of homicides have gone down 17%, we are the outlier, but we're in the opposite of the direction. We are actually at 32%. So we're almost double the amount of homicide reductions than what's happening in the national trend. Look, the bottom line is this. In order to be able to change the perception that people have about Chicago, we have to change the reality of Chicagoans. And for too many people, for too long, they've been ignored. These communities that have been disinvested in, where violence has been most pervasive. You know, Bob, there are 35 beats where the vast majority of crime takes place. When I got elected, I rolled up my sleeves, pulled the full force of government together and said, let's drill down on the people and the places in Chicago where violence is most pervasive. Those beats that we concentrated on, we brought jobs, we brought economic opportunities, boarding up abandoned buildings, you know, making sure that there are opportunities for individuals, bringing the full force of government. And what we have seen as a result, that the violent crime has actually decreased to a greater extent in those particular beats. My theory has always been, if we can reduce violence in the toughest places in the city of Chicago, we can take that same strategy elsewhere. Here's another good example. Since we've actually promoted and hired more detectives, we now have an 80% clearance rate. Right. So my theory has always been that if you actually solve crime, that's another way in which you can deter crime. Look, we still have a lot of work to be done, but every year since I've been in office, crime has gone down, and now we're seeing historic numbers. The month of April, for instance, the lowest amount of homicides since 1962. Memorial Day weekend, one of the safest Memorial Day weekends in almost 20 years. Again, one homicide, one shooting is one too many. That doesn't help the perception. But as we continue to invest in people, hold those who are causing harm against our communities accountable, and we have a law enforcement entity that is doing just that while also making critical investments, that's the full force of government approach that we haven't had. And that's why we are experiencing the results that we're experiencing. Over 30,000 young people have summer jobs, a 47% increase since I've taken office. Where we have seen the largest amount of youth employed, we've seen the most dramatic, precipitous decline in violence. So it's both and. It's making sure that our detectives and our detectives bureau have the resources that are needed to be able to solve crime and prevent crime. But it's also about making critical investments on the front end so that we don't find ourselves jammed up in the situation like we had in the 90s, Bob, when I was in high school, where you had 800, 900 people being murdered every single year. And there was no outrage at that moment. Mm-hmm. Well, you have a mayor who understands what the city of Chicago deserves. And we deserve a safe, affordable city for everyone.
I don't know that the message is getting out. We got to do better in that department, and hopefully people will start believing because you hear it from the suburbs. Folks don't want to come into the city. And as you know, Mr. Mayor, tourism, conventions, this translates into money in Chicago. So let's talk a little more about that. And also, I want to get into the Bears and your strategy for reelection and a little bit on the budget, too. But I need to get a break in here now, and we will return with Mayor Johnson. Will you hold on, or did you just remember why you've been avoiding me and you're going to hang up?
No, I got plenty. I haven't been avoiding you. I've just been spending a lot more time with Lisa Dent.
Yeah. Thank you for reminding me. All right. Well, I appreciate your time with us. Don't go away. Continuing with Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, I got to let Steve ask a question because of this conversation with you, Mr. Mayor. His 7:30 newscast might be a little late. Go ahead, Steve.
Mr. Mayor, good morning. I want to ask, has the city of Chicago resigned itself to losing the Chicago Bears? By all appearances, it seems the Bears have moved on to focus on Arlington Heights for a new stadium. And specifically, have there been any talks? Are there any talks planned? And if the team moves, what does the city look like without the Bears?
Well, look, the Chicago Bears belong in the city of Chicago. You know, I've been, you know, very forthright in, you know, my desire to work with the Bears organization. As you know, the only person who ran for office, who, you know, made the compelling argument that the Bears, you know, do belong in the city of Chicago. You know, look, they were prepared and willing to put billions of dollars of their own money into the stadium. A stadium, by the way, that would be privately financed primarily and publicly owned. You know, we still have some work to do, the organization in Springfield, to be able to walk our legislators through, you know, all of the different options that we do have to keep the Bears in the city of Chicago. My door is still open, and, you know, I'm not one to ever give up. You know, as far as, you know, what the city, you know, looks like, you know, there's all the good reasons why the Bears should stay in Chicago. We were talking earlier about just perception. You know, look, we had a 22,000 increase in terms of population. The first time we've had population growth, $20 billion of tourism dollars. Our airport, particularly O'Hare, has breaking records. So more people are traveling through our airports than what we've seen in forever, literally breaking records. Hundreds of thousands of folks coming through the city of Chicago. And so there's clearly a revival, if you will, that's taking place. So I'm going to continue to keep my door open, working with the Chicago Bears to make sure that 100-year story is able to exist for the next 100 years.
Yeah, that NFL preseason starts tomorrow night. Mr. Mayor, yesterday you got specific about the city's billion-dollar-plus budget shortfall. Without getting into the weeds on this, some of the criticism centers on timing. Could you have been more proactive? You're a smart guy. You knew this moment of financial crisis was coming, didn't you?
We have been proactive. In fact, if you look at my first two budgets, we predicted $500 million when I was running. We closed that gap by, you know, making more cost-efficient savings. We've actually saved the taxpayers just last year's budget over $200 million. The revenue streams that we are able to control in Chicago, which, by the way, 60% or more of revenue streams are dictated by the state of Illinois. But the ones that we actually control, those are actually performing quite well. The challenge, of course, is that people have greater demands of government, particularly around community safety. If we're going to build the safest, most affordable big city in America, we're going to have to invest in people. So we put together a working group of, you know, financiers, labor leaders, the philanthropic leaders, folks from the business community. They're going to provide some recommendations, looking at some of the practices that corporations use, finding more ways in which we can modernize government so that we can save the taxpayer dollars. You're absolutely right. Look, that, you know, this deficit did not just show up yesterday, right? We definitely knew it was coming, primarily because of our pension obligations that have not been, you know, paid into, and we're paying an enormous amount of dollars in police settlements, right? Just last month, we settled a case that was from the 1980s. You know, so, you know, these are challenges, of course, that, you know, we're tackling head on. It is going to take all of us, but this is why I've been calling for, you know, real progressive, sustainable revenue so that we can confront the structural deficit once and for all. I'm going to take it head on. And that's exactly what the people of Chicago elected, as a working class man who knows the challenges of everyday people where the ends don't always meet. I know what that feels like. So we're going to work hard to make sure that we are not balancing the budget off the backs of working people and challenging those with means to lean a little bit more to make these critical investments that's going to ensure that safety becomes a reality for all of our neighborhoods.
One more thing before we let you go. You have criticized the Trump administration's ICE raids and been more vocal in attacking the president lately. And I think the word is, from many insiders anyway, that this could be your new path to reelection. It could elevate your profile. Is this your new political strategy? Because over the summer, your approval rating has been going up.
Well, this is not political for me, to be perfectly frank with you. This is a moral issue, right? I mean, we're talking about, you know, the Trump administration that has shifted the largest concentration of wealth into the hands of the wealthy few ever in the history of our country, and spending more money on ICE than countries spend on their military. In fact, there's only two militaries that have a larger budget than ICE right now, and that's China and the American government. That's just unconscionable. You know, so again, this is not about, you know, politics for me. This is about, you know, a government entity that is, you know, trampling on our Constitution, kidnapping people, separating families. I've never been supportive of that, and I never will. And so I think this is a moment where I think as a city, as a welcoming city, a long history, 40 years, you know, where our local law enforcement has worked to build trust. The last thing that we need is our immigrant community that has played an incredible role in building the soul of Chicago to feel, you know, uneasy about interacting with local law enforcement in the fear that local law enforcement will, you know, behave as federal ICE agents. It's something that we cannot do. It actually undermines our community safety. So, again, this is not about a political ideology. This is about the moral compass of our country. The last thing I'll say is, Bob, is Justice Brandeis, you know, the first Jewish American to be appointed to the Supreme Court. He said that we can either have a democracy or we can have wealth concentrated in the hands of the few. But he said we cannot have both. We have to choose. And so I'm going to choose our democracy over ideology any day.
Mayor Brandon Johnson, I appreciate you making time for us. And now that you've been on our broadcast, will you come on again or make me whine, beg, and complain for a year first?
No, we won't do that. In fact, I have to come in studio and hang out with you. Man, I have a few questions I want to ask you, man. You have had an incredible career. And, of course, I would love to pick your brain about some things. So, yeah, let's do it again. And I'll promise you, Lisa and I, we will share me with you. How's that?
Hey, you know what? Call Haley, and she'll check my schedule. We'll try to squeeze you in here so you can ask me questions. Thank you very much, Mayor Johnson. Good luck to you, because listen, if you're successful, all the citizens of our great city will benefit.
Absolutely. Thank you. Have a great weekend, and go Cubs.
There you go. It's news time next here in 2 minutes. He's off the line. How did it go, Steve?
I think it went really well. I think he's going to come back. I think he likes you.
All right, I'll get Haley. Did he say anything off the air? His people complained about anything?
No complaints from anybody on our end, so I think we're good.
All right. Let's see if he comes on in less than a year. All right.